You are listening to Smart Energy Podcast, a podcast dedicated to all things from clean energy and e-mobility industry. Each episode, we invite key industry leaders, government and policy decision makers, tech innovators, entrepreneurs, and more to explore what's new, what's trending, what's coming up in the industry. The podcast puts the listener to be in the know, trigger important conversations, and provide information for usable action steps. I, Santosh Kartare, editor of Smart Energy Magazine, and your host, welcome you all to the brand new episode of Smart Energy Podcast. Today we have on our podcast Samrat Sengupta, Vice President, Business Development at EKI Energy Services Limited. Founded in 2008, EKI is passionately working towards rehabilitating the planet to a future of net zero carbon emissions. To contribute to the development of a climate-resilient global economy, the company offers strategic solutions to businesses and organizations globally to achieve their climate ambition. EKI Energy Services offerings span across carbon credit or asset management, carbon credit generation, supply and offsetting, carbon footprint management, sustainability audit, as well as carbon neutrality and climate positive initiatives. Samrat Sengupta is a climate and renewable energy professional and a policy campaigner. With 2.5 decades of experience with proficiency in the carbon market and renewable power business strategy and development, at EKI Energy Services Limited, he is responsible for new business line development in the climate change vertical. We will speak with Mr. Sengupta about carbon credits and their importance in our collective journey to a more sustainable and nature-positive future. Samrat Sengupta, welcome to the Smart Energy Podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to talk to you.
Mr. Sengupta, can you tell our listeners what is climate ambition and how is EKI Energy Services helping businesses and organizations to achieve their climate ambition?
Now, everybody is probably aware about the problem of climate change and global warming. It is all over the media. Scientifically, if we have to restrict our global warming within 1.5 degrees centigrade by the mid of this century, the globe as a whole need to attain a net zero emission level. Net zero emission level means whatever the greenhouse gas emission happening in the atmosphere due to human activity, it should be net off by the absorption capacity of the environment, because in this environment there are a lot of greenhouse gases which get absorbed in ocean, in biota, in various forms. So the earth has its own capacity to absorb carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases from the atmosphere, and our human induced emission should be limited within that capacity, so that overall carbon balance in the atmosphere should not change post 2050. Then only by end of this century, we can limit the temperature change within 1.5 degree centigrade. So that's the scientific basis of the ambition, where from the net zero concept arises, and various countries as well as corporates are declaring their ambition to achieve that net zero condition within certain years or within certain time frame. And we, EKI Energy Services Limited, BSE listed service provider of carbon asset management, we provide services by giving corporates the knowledge how to define their carbon footprint, then how to address their future plan of carbon neutrality by their own in-house activity, and whatever the residual emission, they have to offset it by purchasing quality carbon credit. We are one of the largest player in the global market who source quality carbon credit and trade it for the corporates to use for their offsetting purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Sengupta, for making us understand what climate ambition is and how EKI Energy Services is helping businesses achieve their climate ambitions. My next question to you is, in the decade-long journey, what are the clients and major projects that EKI Energy Services has worked on?
We have started our operation from 2008. Our first project was a voluntary carbon standard project being registered. And with this almost one and a half decades, 14 plus years of, we have a huge clientele of 3,000 plus originating from 40 different countries and have traded more than 200 plus millions of carbon offset globally. So almost all the big companies, including the multilateral and bilateral agencies like World Bank, ADB, all in our client list.
Can you shed some light on the climate change and transition to net zero vis-a-vis increase in business and profit for an organization or a company?
See, the basic problem of what the world is experiencing in various sectors of environment, including climate change, is due to the fact that our industrial revolution and related capitalized development model has forgot to internalize the cost of natural resources they are extracting from this Mother Earth. And that has enhances huge unsustainable consumption. And this consumption-centric development model is the main problem point, where the environmental and social cost has not been internalized in their financial indicators, in their balance sheet, and the businesses. So carbon market is possibly the first steps towards internalizing the cost of environment into a business aspects. And that also in a way that it reduces the risks related to that investment. And that has been appreciated by the corporate world, and particularly the investment community are internalizing the environmental social governance issues as one of the major criteria in their risk assessment and valuation before investing any kind of projects, program, or business activities. So a proactive climate corporate will reduces their future risks of businesses, will give an enhanced bottom line to them, as well as addressing the environmental footprint or reduces their environmental footprint. It happening because both the investor community and the customers are getting more and more sensitized about it, and they prefer for a business entity who work for delivering any product or services with minimum possible environmental footprint. So climate change or investment towards climate change is not considered as a cost center in present day business. It is considered as a risk minimization and long-term business profitability aspects.
Thank you for shedding light on the carbon markets and how they can help the corporate or any organization reduce the risk related to the investment in reducing their carbon footprint. Can you tell us more about what actually carbon credits are and how they can help businesses?
The greenhouse gases, which broadly categorize as carbon emission, because carbon dioxide consists of maximum portion of the human-induced emission of those greenhouse gases. This has a very long atmospheric lifetime. When any carbon dioxide get emitted into the atmosphere, the residual time into the atmosphere of carbon dioxide is more than 100 years. So anywhere and everywhere in this earth, if there is an emission happens, it automatically disperses uniformly throughout the earth and has a more or less equivalent effect everywhere, reduction of emission happening any parts of the globe will benefit the globe as a whole. Considering emission reduction is utmost for survival of species, flora and fauna, including mankind in this earth, the marginal cost of saving the emission or avoiding the emission is very important. A dollar spent in anywhere in the world will not address the equal amount of emission reduction. It may address a substantial emission reduction in the south. It may not address very substantial emission reduction in the north. This has created a trading mechanism where a high cost economy will invest in a low cost economy to help them to grow sustainably and avoid undue emissions that may happen due to the development of that economy in an unsustainable manner, and trade those emission reduction in lieu of finance for their own goal to get to the net zero. Suppose I run a company which has its own operational and business emission. I will try to reduce it at most at our internal procedural improvement. But whatever the residual emission which cannot be addressed technically or process wise, I will invest in a emission absorption project in any parts of this globe which will address absorption of greenhouse gases or absorption of carbon dioxide in nature-based solution, in community-driven energy access program, or either in renewable energy program. There are 170 kinds of various technologies we are working on. Emission savings in that intervention, I will purchase and use it for making my company a net zero. So that's the whole concept of carbon trading.
Can you tell our listeners more about EKI's Climate EdTech and Climate Finance Marketplace joint venture with First Source Energy?
Nowadays, through IT and IoT based online activity has helped in building up capacities. Any person sitting any parts of the globe can take the help of IT and do any kind of capacity development aspects. Our EdTech JV with First Source Energy is primarily looking to build up capacities among young professionals, particularly in the field of environment, sustainability and climate change, and develop a huge talent pool which the world at this moment required to support activism, supports the various actions the world need to take in a very short time to make all businesses, all operations, all human activities sustainable, carbon neutral, and can help in addressing the net zero or 1.5 degree centigrade goal as said by IPCC.
Your views on the Energy Conservation Amendment Bill 2022 passed recently.
The Energy Conservation Amendment Bill, which has been passed by Upper House Rajya Sabha in December 2022, enabling the act to be in place. It was earlier passed mid of June. It was passed by Lok Sabha last year June. So it gives a space for regulators to form the regulation policy as well as a regulation to make India's national emission trading system, the cap and trade emission trading system, in place. And under Ministry of Power, the particularly Bureau of Energy Efficiency is working on it for almost last 6 months, and we expect by 2023 April the initial structure and policy will be publicly disclosed by the government. It will help to develop a national emission trading system where the present form of energy efficiency trading and renewable energy trading in the form of PAT scheme and REC scheme will be merged together, and there will be a single entity carbon credit certificate will be traded. There will be target given to designated consumers, the big emitters. Initially, it will be concentrated on 1100 odd designated consumer at this moment listed in the PAT scheme. Based on their performance, their achievement of the targets, if anybody falls short of the target, can purchase the credit from somebody whose performance has exceeded than the target. So it is a cap and trade emission trading system will be developed that will be really helpful for the country to overall achieve its NDC commitment, which is the primary objective of the CTS, as well as creates huge sense of climate awareness among the various business entities, make them proactive, climate ready, future ready, and that will help them in future business competitiveness also. Because in the era of globalization, when India is poised to be a manufacturing hub of the globe, and we are doing so in some of the sector like auto, textile, being a substantial manufacturing supply to the world, there will be a lot of check and balance on the emission footprint of the product or services that will be produced by various business houses. And this kind of national emission trading system will help them to adopt carbon friendly or emission friendly technologies well before time and make them competitive in the global business arena.
Thank you for a quick peek into the Energy Conservation Amendment Bill 2022 and how it is going to help the businesses. Can you tell us more about EKI's community-based projects and the recent capacity expansion at its manufacturing plant located at Nashik in Maharashtra?
India has a huge dilemma of providing the basic level of energy access to all of its population, including the population living in remote parts of the country or economically deprived section of the community, as well as addressing the emission reduction. Our per capita emission and per capita energy consumption both is one of the lowest in G20, and it is almost one third or one fifth of world average. Though we have a substantial space to grow our emission, but we should not do it unsustainably. We should do it with utilization of local resources and in a carbon friendly manner. Considering the same, the EKI's community based projects businesses has been designed to give efficient cooking devices, efficient water filtering devices, efficient lighting devices to targeted community almost free of cost, and justifying the investment towards doing so by acquiring the carbon emission reduction by putting those efficient devices into operation and bringing carbon finance in lieu of those emission reduction. So this is a unique business concept where the community get benefited through sustainable energy access, which has lot of co-benefit associated with it. It gives support to their livelihood operation. It addresses the gender issue, because most of our rural community, the women folks are busy in firewood collection, in potable water collection. So they get much more time in productive operation or productive business kind of activities, which will give them an economic benefit, as well as addresses the health issue. When there will be a sustainable energy use, particularly in a small houses, it is in the form of cooking or lighting, there will be very less emission in compared to the standard practices. It will address the in-house pollution, and it will address various health issues arises mainly to the women and the children who are always with them. That's quite a substantial co-benefit associated with it. And it is happening without any investment from them. through a process of channelizing the carbon finance into their activity. And we have developed our own manufacturing capacity with almost 5 million per year manufacturing facility of cook stoves in our Nashik facilities. And this is possibly the largest manufacturing capacity any organization or company or any entity having any parts of the world. Though we are very active in India and we are expanding our activity in various parts of the African countries and other South Asian and East Asian countries. This is one of our flagship program which addresses the environment, addresses the community, also addresses the business.
Nice to know about the community-based approach undertaken by EKI Energy Services that addresses the needs of the community and at the same time takes care of the environment. My next question to you is, how important is technology and its role in tackling the climate change?
Technology is very important because without technological growth or R&D in technologies, addressing sustainable development will not be possible. Particularly, I can refer to the upcoming green hydrogen economy. Or still in laboratories, but possibility of getting a good amount of interest among the business communities, CCU and CCUS, carbon capture and storage, or carbon capture technologies. Both technological intervention as well as BECCS, which is biotechnical interventions, is required. And people should invest on technologies which ideally should have addressed the material sustainability as well as recyclability of the, because we are now 8 billion population and it is growing. So any technology will going to use materials which has to be mined from the Mother Earth. So we should concentrate more on technologies which will facilitate easy recyclability so that the virgin material requirement can be reduced to an optimum level. That's very important for even the storage technology, which is the backbone of our renewable energy integration in the grid. When we utter storage, immediately our mind goes to battery. But there are various other storage, which is conventional storage. India has a huge amount of hydropower capacity with us. With a little intervention, those hydropower can be augmented in a pump storage capacity. We should think about utilizing more and more indigenous technologies, because the present day battery technology is lithium ion technology, which is based on two basic material, lithium and cobalt. None of it has any source within India, not the production facility in India. So a more and more technological development like aluminium air or vanadium flow technology will help somehow address the energy security of this country.
Finally, can you share your vision for EKI Energy Services in India and the role it will play in the energy transition to net zero?
We have an internal target to meet 1 billion emission reduction offset generation by 2027. That's a huge target, but that is achievable. And with our businesses, we can do a great help to support India and other global nation to achieve their net zero target and help the globe may not be within 2050, which is technically it seems impossible at this moment, but within a certain distortion by 2060 or 70, we should address this net zero so that the temperature rise may not be at 1.5 degree, but well within 2 degree we can limit it so that the climate change adverse impact will be reduced. And possibly our business, while addressing the basic purpose of business, bottom line is well targeted to help the world or help the business community to reduce it. 1 billion target by 2027.
Taking bold climate action takes determination, resources and innovation. But taking action can make organizations more successful and resilient. IKEA Energy Services, with its innovative solution, is working towards making organizations take action and strengthen climate transition ecosystem. Mr. Sengupta, thank you and appreciate your time for joining us on the podcast and for making the complex carbon credit market simple for all the listeners to understand.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to tell the world what we are doing and for why we are doing it.
Here we come to the end of this insightful episode of Smart Energy Podcast. We invite all our listeners to get involved and join in the conversation. If you have any questions or want more information on any specific topic discussed today, you can drop a mail to me on santosh.smartenergy@gmail.com. You can follow Smart Energy Magazine on LinkedIn, Twitter, and subscribe to our dedicated channel on YouTube. And yes, if you like the podcast, don't forget to click on the subscribe button and recommend it to your industry colleagues. Thank you for tuning in.